Good evening, I'm James Williams on This Is Men's Matters on Express FM 93.7. In tonight's show, we'll be talking to Dr. Peter Ball about male circumcision. To cut or not to cut? Listen to this. Now, as boys, we grow up learning to defend ourselves against the taunts of our peers, who like to pick on our physical differences and make us miserable. Now, if we've been circumcised, our parents and fellows provide a series of reassuring retorts for the schoolyard. Among other things, it is apparently cleaner and women prefer it. Of course, our intact peers scoff at such nonsense in much the same way that we all do when the fat child claims he is big-boned. But as we pass through adolescence, these things provide reassurance that having flesh cut from our penises was, at worst, a benign act, having no impact on our sex lives. In a world where adults rarely mention the subject, our need for self-esteem forces us to believe and reiterate what we were told, because the alternative is too horrible to even contemplate. Now we're going to talk to a Dr. Peter Ball from what's known as Norm UK. That's Norm-UK. And that's www.norm-uk.org if you want to check it out. Norm UK has discovered over the years that many doctors are flippant about circumcision, and some are too keen to refer the patients at the earliest opportunity. They've discovered that medical circumcision rates vary widely across the country, and that at least four studies have shown that two-thirds of therapeutic circumcisions conducted by the NHS are unnecessary. So if you're a man circumcised in the UK to resolve a medical issue, it's estimated there is a 90% chance that you could have kept your foreskin by using some cream or doing some stretching exercises for a few weeks. At least it would have been worth a try. OK, I'm going to talk to Dr. Peter Ball now, who's a representative of Norm UK. Hello, Peter.
Hello.
Hello, thanks for coming on the radio. And I'm fascinated because you're a specialist in this subject of male circumcision. Can you describe what the procedure is, first of all, to be circumcised? How does it come about? What do they actually do medically?
Circumcision involves removing the entire foreskin from the penis. And the foreskin is the protective skin that covers the end of the penis, the glands, and in its normal state, it can be retracted so that it rolls right back down the shaft to reveal the gland. And as I said, it is a protective function, and when the foreskin is removed, then changes occur to the gland. If a circumcision is attempted on a baby or small child, then unfortunately, in order to free it from the head of the penis, forceps have to be inserted into the end of the foreskin. The foreskin is actually physically separated from the glands at that stage, which is a very traumatic, bleeding and painful process. If it's done in later life, then the foreskin does become a separate entity, then is simply cut through and removed. If circumcisions are done on adults, then it is more easy to judge just how much of the skin you're removing and possibly get a more satisfactory result. The risk of doing circumcisions in young children and babies is that it's very difficult to estimate the correct amount of skin to remove, and quite often too much skin is removed so that when the wound has healed, when erections take place, there's too little skin to accommodate the increase in size in the penis, and the erection can be extremely painful or even impossible.
Basically, to have a circumcision then, particularly for a baby or a small child, because they haven't got a fully developed penis, it can be quite a dangerous and traumatic experience then.
Exactly.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, there's still the impression sometimes that the baby can't feel any pain. They think it therefore doesn't need any anaesthetic. And many circumcisions in America are undoubtedly done on babies without anaesthesia. And it is, in fact, an extremely painful process. And this can be recorded by changes in the metabolism of the child. Mm. And interestingly, if you look at children who are receiving their first injections, the boys that have been circumcised cry for much longer than those that are intact, indicating that there have been changes in the pain threshold as a result of this traumatic operation.
And of course, as children, boys, of course, grow up and they start to notice their own anatomies more, they start to make comparison with other boys, and that itself can lead to shyness and a psychological difference, I suppose.
It certainly does, to the extent that quite a number of men who are so embarrassed by their circumcision that they won't go to a public urinal and stand by other men who are passing water because they're ashamed of the difference between themselves and the intact men.
There's fewer parts of the anatomy that can be more personal than the penis for a male, so obviously that is inevitably going to create those sort of problems.
And a more important problem is that it diminishes the sexual enjoyment that's possible. Because the foreskin has been removed, the end of the penis, the glands, instead of being highly sensitive and smooth, it thickens up and loses its sensitivity, so that it becomes relatively numb. And at the same time, the foreskin contains highly erogenous nerve endings in its tip, which contribute tremendously to the male enjoyment of sex. And these sensory fibers are removed forever by circumcision, so that the circumcised man is missing out on this.
Do you find in your experience that it's mainly children who perhaps have not had the opportunity of choosing whether they have it done? Do you find it's mainly those that have been affected more than adults?
I think as soon as they realise that they've missed something, then they are going to have a sense of, why wasn't I consulted on this one? If I'd known this was going to happen, I certainly wouldn't have wanted it to happen.
And do you, amongst men, who the claim is that very often that men need to have it done because of medical reasons, and I see in the Norm UK brochure, and they're saying that perhaps up to 90% of medical operations are unnecessary when they could have got away with a cream or something.
Yes, this is certainly true. The only reason, the commonest medical reason for needing a circumcision is the presence of a skin disease that has damaged the end of the foreskin so that it becomes totally unretractable. A disease called BXO, or Balanitis Serotica Obliterans. And this is a rare disease, but it does result in the end of the skin turning into a leathery, non-stretchable material. And some of these cases can be treated by very strong steroid creams, but quite a lot of them do have to be treated by circumcision. But it's just the presence of a tight foreskin on its own does not automatically mean circumcision, though most urologists tend to say that it does. We know from our experience that if you teach the man to regularly, gently stretch his foreskin, then most tight foreskins can ultimately be made sufficiently lax to be able to retract normally and easily over the head of the penis.
Now, for men who've had a circumcision for whatever reason, is there any chance of ever getting it back again? Can you do any performances of surgery or anything that can get it back?
There are two approaches to a man who's been circumcised and would like a foreskin back. The first, which I've dismissed very briefly, is to have a surgical operation to replace the foreskin. And the commonest method of doing this is to cut the skin at the shaft of the base of the shaft, and then the whole of the shaft skin is pulled up so that it now covers the glands. And then the gap that results is filled in either with a skin graft or by covering it with the scrotum, the ball bag, and then that is separated from the scrotum once it's healed. This is a quick way of doing it. It can be done. The wounds, if they go well, heal in about 3 or 4 months. But the result is extremely unpleasant looking, because you've got two sorts of skin which don't match. And the method that we prefer is called the non-surgical foreskin restoration. And that involves bringing the shaft skin under tension by stretching it. And this has to be done for a long time, 2 or 3 years. And over that time, the skin not only stretches but grows new skin, which is entirely natural looking. And as it grows, so the shaft skin can be advanced over the head of the penis until it actually covers it completely. And if you get some surplus skin over the end of the penis, then it actually closes in. And the cosmetic result is indistinguishable from an intact man. The other advantage, apart from the cosmesis, is that the owner now has a foreskin that rolls to and fro, which is a highly pleasurable sensation, which previously only the intact men had. The sex with his lover is now very satisfactory. And the head of the penis, the glands, and the skin immediately behind the glands, which has hitherto been dry and relatively insensitive, because it's now covered, becomes moist. The outer keratinized, the thickened layers disappear, and the man now has a smooth glands, highly sensitive, as nearly as sensitive as it was in the pre-circumcision state, and the tissue immediately behind the glands definitely regains a great deal of sensitivity and increases the pleasure which he previously had lost.
That's amazing. Can this procedure, does it need help, or can the man do it himself? Does he need any assistance with doing it, stretching
The principles are quite simple, and there's a great deal out on the internet to explain how to do it. It's a field well open to do-it-yourself gadgets to attach to the penis to add weights or elastic to keep the skin under tension. Norm UK is a very good source of information, and I have made a DVD called Restoration in Focus, which runs for about 40 minutes, and that gives live, living examples of men who are restoring, showing how the increased growth can progress, and showing the early methods of how to start restoring, and how what do-it-yourself gadgets to make, and it describes several of the commercial gadgets, which are very ingenious, very comfortable to wear, and very effective. They can be bought from the internet.
And they can find more details when they go to the www.norm-uk.org site, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, Peter, thank you very much for that, and I hope you enjoy your day.
Right.
Bye.
Thanks, bye.
And that was Dr. Peter Ball.